Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is a Wednesday, which means we are live at Flowery Branch inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. We'll get a chance to talk to our head football coach, Raheem Morse, coming up a little bit later on this afternoon in the 3 o'clock hour. And, Mike, as we have been told, and we're going to get a chance to talk to a guy that we have not spoken to, believe it or not. He's done a really good job for this Falcon football team and Charlie Warner. Go Dawgs. And we are going to talk with him right after Coach steps in here and get his thoughts on this offense. And, guys, we got to get a lot of things corrected. We're going to let you hear from Raheem Morse coming up. But, you know, Charlie Warner, man, again, play your position, know your role. He's not a guy that's going to catch 80 balls for you, but he's a significant part of this offense.
No, man, he's sort of the quintessential, you know, blocking tight end. But as we said, you know, Zach Robinson, just when you don't make a guy sound like you can scout, easily scout against, oh, okay, he's out there, he's going to be blocking. No, I mean, he can still catch the football. And also kind of curious to see what his recollections are of his time with Georgia, because he was there for the resurgence under Kirby, did play on the team that played for the national championship that came up short against Alabama.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, Kirby talked about recruiting, and he's obviously done a hell of a job of that, but when Charlie was there, it was sort of, we are not there yet, we will get there, and here are the guys that are trying to help us get there. He was one of those guys. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Big congratulations going out to Atlanta United. We will certainly discuss the events of last night in Montreal, and more importantly, November 2nd, which is a Saturday, they're going to open it full go at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for that second game of this three-game series between us and Miami, Mike. And I just asked Mike, I said, look, do you think we can beat Messi and company? With the way things are going, and we said this, and the reason why I only bring this up is because this is what we wanted to happen to the Braves, and it didn't. Getting hot at the right time. They went on the road, they right. beat a team, they won these last few regular season games to give themselves a chance. Then you go on the road against Montreal in a win-or-go-home situation, you win a match, Mike, in penalty kicks, which was absolutely bananas. And now, for everybody who's going to say, well, Miami scored the most goals all season, they're probably going to lose. We're hot.
Hey, man, you know what? You got to punch his chance. And I know that it's certainly based on pure talent. You know, you've got so many legends on that Miami squad that have come together to join Messi. And they've been the best team in MLS. And they've just been setting all sorts of scoring records. But, hey, man, second road playoff game in club history for us. Last time we did it was up in New York at Yankee Stadium in 2018. Remember the watch party we had for that one back
yes.
in the old days?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it was heady days back in the year we won the championship. But it will be great to see. Best of three, Friday it starts. We said Miami wins the Supporters' Shield for winning the most games. Brad Guzan, our buddy Brad, he made some amazing saves the first half. Then he let one really, he was probably embarrassed by it. Whoops! And Joseph was right there. I felt bad. Joseph was kind of like, I felt bad like kicking that pass to you. And then Joseph scores on penalties, but Brad comes up big. They almost blow a 2-0 lead, but some really cool things. You know, I mean, hey, you made the playoffs, and not only did you know, it's one thing if you just get in there, all right, we got the booby prize playing. You actually made something out of it.
Well, right? Think about all that's happened with Atlanta United, right, this season. Whether it be players that are not here, whether it be a manager that's not here, whether it be a technical director that's not here. I mean, there's been a lot of changes, Mike, on and off the field. And these guys continue to play well. I mean, at some point, you know, you got to give them credit. They've been able to play through it. With that said, we'll certainly dive into that because that playoff matchup is going to be huge here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, man, one of the things, you know, Brooks Lennon's a guy. Remember, everyone loved Julian Gressel. He was the fan favorite. And Brooks never got the respect because, you know, Joseph gets hurt. You can't realize how good he is. They moved Brooks up to the front three, and it paid huge dividends for
us
last night. So, nice job from interim Coach Rob Martino.
Well, Mike, he changed the starting lineup going right. back a few matches ago, and it's actually paid dividends. So either way, and you asked, I think you asked Mike Conte this, is he going to get a chance to get the job? I don't know.
I mean, do we have to go for the giant big-name guy who's washed up in Europe? I mean, in all honesty, just a thought.
Well, that was the strategy,
I
right?
mean, look, Tata was great, and we'll never get back to that. De Boer didn't make a lot of sense for style, but De Boer nearly had us in a championship in 19, and then hindsight was an unmitigated disaster, and then just further and further on, and Pineda did the best he could, but they had to pull the plug. But I would love the idea of letting Martino get a shot at this. But again, with that win last night, he moves to 11-10-10 in his career when he gets a chance to be a skipper.
Congratulations, Atlanta United 17s. Hey, we are all about supporting these guys in the moment. Certainly, it's a big one, and it will be in this series. All right, we are live at Flowery Branch. I want you to hear a few things that Raheem Morse said today as they are at practice. Once he gets done, he's going to run in here and talk to Mike and I. And he was talking about, you know, how these games go. and it really depends on how you run the football. Something I want to know from Ra today is, how do we run the football against these Bucs? Guys, we only ran it for 73 yards in the last game. Now, most of us only remember the fact that we won in overtime in an amazing game in which Kirk Cousins threw for 500 yards. What we don't remember is why he had to throw for 500 yards. They shut the run game down. So he says the tenor of this game has a lot to do with whether you run the ball or you're able to stop it. I totally agree. Here's what I would do if I'm Lee Encombe, and he's the offensive coordinator for the Bucs. I just lost my two star wide receivers. I got a bunch of guys that are versatile in this backfield. We are going to slow this thing down, run the ball. I'm not going to have Baker throw it 50 times this game, and we are going to try to control clock at home, Mike, and try to survive. I think
survive.
Yes, because without their two star wide receivers, right, we know this is a different team that can't push the ball down the field, right? They're not as good. So what is he going to do? I mean, you look at these running backs, Mike, Rashid White.
Bucky Irving out of the backfield.
He's been really good.
But that's one of those things, to your point. You'll use him the way perhaps the Chargers did the week that they had all their wide receivers banged up against us. Then it was a game that we thought we had. It was going to be gravy, and Justin Herbert was just, you know, who was it? Eckler. Austin Eckler had the big day at Mercedes-Benz. So let Bucky – watch out for Bucky Irving. Yeah, I was just thinking of Tropic Thunder. Survive!
Yes.
That's what they're going to try to do in this one. On paper, we should be able to get, like, usually a crap effort like what we put up against Seahawks is followed by stepping up to the plate. So let's hope that's the case. But there will be, I mean, again, a lot of emotions, and folks will be fired up because they are going throwbacks, and that jersey always gets people jacked up down there. But yes, we should go down there and beat these guys by a touchdown.
At least. Here is Coach talking about Tampa missing those key players.
You know, they're pros, you know, just like everybody else in the National Football League, so they're definitely going to have the next man up mentality. You know, that's two really good players that we know or we think are going to be out. I know they put Godwin on IR, not sure with Mike, but didn't look great for those guys, and that's really good players that they're going to have IR. But they got some really good players behind them. You know, obviously Shep's been a great player since he came from Oklahoma and played with Baker. He's been doing the league for a long time, known him from the Giants. He'll probably fill the inside position at the F position. They went out and drafted their young man from Washington that's doing a really good job for him, has his role increased every single week. Got a real speedy receiver out there in Palmer who's done some really good things for him in the past, and then obviously their three-headed monster at running back has been looking pretty good. So they got some stuff in stock. You know, I know it's always, oh, what was me when you get people hurt, but for coaches and people that work inside the building and players, they always got answers and reasons and things to be positive about and the people to get the ball to.
Yeah, I mean, it is the next man up, but, I mean, you just don't replace Godwin and Evans. Evans, as we know, is a Hall of Famer. Godwin has been such a great role. I mean, just so good in that role as, like, the number two and for times number one when Evans has been banged up. Jalen McMillan is the kid from Washington who was a third-round pick, Carl, that he's talking about, a coach from Washington.
Yeah.
Don't know what this kid's about. He does have a touchdown this season, 6 for 74 yards.
Sterling Shepard is the other guy who's been basically the backup. He's gotten some runs, some tick, as we like to say. But
there was some time he was considered, like, a decent piece, you know, for your fantasy squad in the old days of the Giants.
But he's certainly not stepping in and being a number one. But I get it. Coaches, his thing is, you guys know what's in the building. Todd Bowles knows what's in the building. We don't know. And it doesn't mean that they're by any stretch of the imagination better than the guys that were starting. But if you feel like, hey, they can fill the void at least for a couple of weeks until we figure this out, you're going to be okay. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game live at Flowery Branch. Guys, coming up, some headlines, but we're letting you hear what Coach had to say here before practice today. What about the penalties, Mike? Penalties been hurting us, right? I mean, these are things that have been setting us back offensively and certainly defensively. Last week, what upset me the most were the defensive penalties. We had a couple of shots against Geno that, I mean, we get off the field if those penalties don't happen.
Yeah, I know it was that second down that was the pass interference, which I still didn't like, but that's, you know, the little things, too. The false starts killed us.
Yes.
You know, because you're right from the jump. You're behind schedule. Now you got down in distance, which is difficult to take care of. So, yeah, I'm with you there. The Falcons have had a lot of penalty yards. I'm looking right now. And it's something that certainly has got to be cleaned up. Now, it's easier said than done, but this is a squad that you can't afford this, as we've seen. You cannot have Kirk Cousins at this stage of his career where he's kind of a sitting duck have third and long, because that guy's going to pin their ears back and come and get him.
Here's Coach talking about the fact that he talked to the team about all the penalties.
You first thing you do is bring it to shine a light on it, you know, which we're able to do on the Monday after the game, shine a light on it and talk about it with the guys. They all were there. You know, it's not like you go in and you complain about it and then you talked about being a not being a victim, you know, being a warrior when it comes to these status motors and taking ownership of those things and putting it to the light, like, hey, we have to clean these things up. And it wasn't like it was an unfair advantage in penalties. It was 9 to their 7 or whatever it was. It's just that we can't have them in those critical moments. And I felt like ours came in more critical moments than theirs did. And when that happens, that's how games get out of whack, and that's what you got to get a hold of right away. So, like, the emphasis has been put on in practice. I think our officials in our practice do a great job in the structure of doing what we want to do and being able to tell these guys. And I think our guys got to go out there and apply the techniques that are proper in order not to get certain penalties that we did get, you know, like executing the game and not bumping to a quarterback or putting your hands in the guy's face. There are some that won't be able to be avoided, you know, like, but the concentration ones of, you know, false starts, things of that nature, definitely ones you can avoid.
Yeah. We got 8 false starts. We're 13th in the league, Carl, with 45 penalties for 385 yards.
The bumping the quarterback, inexcusable, what he's talking about there. That was the penalty that just that was stupid. Either way, hopefully we get those things cleaned up. More with Coach coming up as we'll get a chance to talk to him in the 3 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, though, we got to hit some headlines, including what the Dogs are doing as they get ready for Florida. Not this weekend, next weekend. And also, the Hawks tip things off tonight. What can we expect from this new-look Hawks team? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell hanging out at Flowery Branch, guys, on a Wednesday. Our team preparing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming up this Sunday. Mike, you're going down there. Well, by the way, what do seats look like?
Pretty good. I got like 4th row behind a bench.
Okay.
Like on a 45, so it should be pretty good.
Yeah.
So if things aren't going well, I could get in their heads, but hopefully it'll be just giving some. I always love people when you get those seats and like people give you crap. Like when I was in Philadelphia years ago for that playoff game, guys like, what do you don't. You know what? Don't yell at me. Yell at the guy that sold these tickets, or just see him next year.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not my fault.
Right. But tickets, you know, one thing about Tampa, it's a little more expensive, but not much more than Charlotte. There's always tons of tickets available. So, and you know, it'll be easy to get down there. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I'll say this. For whatever Tampa fans thought this might be, I think there's a lot of pessimism right now.
Right. Well, we talked to a couple of our buddies, and I know we follow Rick Stroud on social media, you know, who covers the team. And, you know, Baker's trying to be a leader here, and we already talked about the next guys that are up. But as we said, Evans is a Hall of Famer. He's right on the cusp of being a Hall of Famer. You just don't replace that kind of production. You know, we talked about, you know, got what he means, how they just make everything work.
Yeah.
So, yes, right now, tremendous advantage for us. Let's not squander it, right? Let's not monkey around down there.
We can sweep these guys. And by the way, we don't see them again. That's it. We're done, right? And then we got to worry about the Saints.
And then we're 4-0 in the division.
Oh, come on. I mean, we're in the driver's seat if you handle this on Sunday. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike on social media, guys. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We will have a pair of Winterfest tickets for you to go to this amazing concert December 20th, 8 o'clock State Farm Arena. And as we said, the concert starring Escape, BBD, Q Parker and Friends, Carl Thomas, Soul for Real, Silk. There's a ton of other artists that are going to be announced. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets coming up. Real quick, Mike, last night history was made in the NBA. We're going to let you hear from LeBron and Bronny. But I found myself watching this because, one, it's opening night of the NBA. Two, I was like, okay, is he really going to play? What's the deal? And I said to Turtle, as soon as they showed his mom and his brother and his sister in the stand, I said, okay, he's going to play tonight. I thought the Lakers might wait until later in the year. I guess J.J. Redick and company, I mean LeBron, was just like, let's get this over with.
Yeah, and immediately people said, wow, this is kind of like even more than when LeBron was telling Dave Blatt what to do in Cleveland. This is really totally like, all right, let's run this. We got a bit of a lead. We'll do it. So, look, does he belong in the NBA? No.
You could say it.
Does he deserve to be in the NBA? No. It's a great story. You know, when Ken Griffey Jr. and his father both played for the Mariners, it was on merit. Ken Griffey Jr. was young but ready.
Stud.
You know, and obviously he was a Hall of Famer, and if he didn't have some injuries, he would probably be the all-time home run king. But this is one that, look, I get why it's fun and the appeal of it and the history and that angle, but I look at this like arms crossed, like, okay, great, Bronny. You know, there's probably 10, 15 guys in the D-League that are better, or G-League that are better than you.
Absolutely.
Right now. But it is what it is. So, look, they got it in. It was earlier than I thought. It was kind of funny. They had a lead. It dropped down by 6 points. They got him off the floor.
He looked a little, I don't want to say scared. He looked a little like, oh, my God, moment last night. Right? He got in the game.
Right.
And I get it. we can say all these things, and I agree with Mike 200%, by the way. He is not ready. Everybody around the league knows this, but there is weight that comes with being LeBron James, right, that is allowing him to have this moment. And for say what you want, the real conversation is that this dude survived 20-some-odd years, right, to even have a chance to play with his son. Whether his son is any good, that's right, one conversation. The fact that LeBron has been this damn good for this long is really the conversation that, hey, my body is held up, I'm good enough and still playing at a high enough level where we can be on the floor. But, Mike, the problem is, you know, again, and we said this, how long does this experiment go? Are you trying to win games? Now, they won last night. But or is this a guy that's going to sit, and I'm talking about Bronny, going to sit at the end of the bench for a majority of the season, which is what should happen?
Right.
Or are they trying to get him in these games so he can learn and do all these things? And I think that's going to take away from the Lakers. And at some point in that locker room, you're going to have some issues. This was cool. Right. We did it first game of the season. Now we don't need to be doing this anymore.
But that's just it. I mean, but do you say now you send him down to the gym? I mean, look, there's lots of guys that have made all-star teams that have played. You've covered a lot of young Hawks. You saw some of the guys right now that are making Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, there's no disrespect about or any kind of that. He doesn't belong in the NBA. He wouldn't have even started for any of the teams in the Sweet 16 last year in college basketball. So that said, he did. Julius Randle went right at him, got a bucket. Yeah. He did miss a shot, did get a rebound. But yeah, it's a bit cheap, but people do seem to dig it. LA fans got a kick out of it. History's been made. But again, it's not even remotely close to the father and sons we've seen in baseball.
We'll let you hear what they both had to say coming up. Turtle is hanging out with us, our executive producer here at Flowery Branch. Big O is back at the studio. Of course, Jersey Mike, our on-site engineer. Let's hit some headlines. All right, let's hear from Kirk Cousins, because he is a guy that's got to get right this week. We can't make the mistakes. Fourth quarter, guys, two picks in a row, basically, and then he was done for the day.
I give him a bit of a pass on one. I know it was a high ball, but we've seen Drake London make those catches.
For sure.
It kind of went right through his arms like goalposts in that first one.
Let's hear from Cousins about this week.
You know, this is pro football, and you have to go back and have candor about, hey, I got to be better. This has to be better. Make the improvements, corrections, and then it put together a strong week of practice, and then go with a resolve to Tampa and plan on playing your best football you possibly can. That's what it takes to win in this league, and that's what we have to do.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And you know, being a vet helps. I mean, if this was a young quarterback, Mike, if this was Michael Penix, we might be feeling or talking about this in a different way. Kirk's going to be fine. He's going to get right. He knows what it's going to take to beat Tampa. I'm just curious about the game plan, knowing what we know about their personnel, or at least what we think is going to happen, and how you approach this week versus the last time you played them. Because they're going to look at that film. We're going to look at that film and go back. I mean, I don't think this game is going to be like the last one.
No, it's hard to – you kind of feel like the under would be the play on this one, but, you know, let's wait and see if the Bucks can pull off a trade. You know, let's see if Cooper Kupp winds up with the Bucks or something like that, which could be a distinct possibility. I know their cap situation, we'd have to kind of do a deep dive on that. Meanwhile, we've got to get some edge rush. I mean, the biggest thing for us is, and again, if Baker is throwing to get, they're clearly the B team on Sunday.
Yeah.
If we give Baker, you know, 3 to 5 seconds to pat the football, he's going to find somebody.
No doubt about it. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we hit some headlines, guys. Jalen Johnson got a 5-year, $150 million deal, and he was asked about, is there any pressure now to live up to this contract?
I'm just going to play basketball, and I trust my abilities, my skills to go out there and produce at a high level. So it's nothing more, no pressure I'm going to put on myself, no extra weight I'm going to put on my shoulders. Just go out there and be me at the end of the day.
He's dynamic, guys. We know this. He's shown flashes. He's still learning. He's so young, guys, 22, 23 years old. But Jalen has a lot of upside, and Mike, you know, that's his personality, by the way. What you just heard, he's never, like, super excited about anything. That's kind of what you get. But when he gets on the floor, he shows you how good he can be. And tonight we open up, I say we as in the Hawks, open up against Brooklyn. Should be interesting to see, you know, his first game and how many shots he's going to be able to take night in and night out now that there's no DJ.
Well, that's just it. I mean, this is how the – now, how does Quinn Snyder approach this offense? How much different does it look
shouldn't it look a little bit more different? I mean, look, we don't play any defense. Okay, so be it. Let's just let it rip. Let's literally be Paul Westhead.
Yeah.
Let's be Doug Moe back in this. For those who don't know, that was the old Denver Nuggets. And let's
150 a night.
If we're gonna do it, let's do it. Okay.
We didn't
let's
play
have
defense.
Total commitment. Let's be the non-defensive team. You know, with the size we've added with the wing. Now Dyson Daniels makes us better defensively. Just. Period. We're just going to be better because that's one thing he did do statistically better than anybody we've had on the roster. Supposedly, that's supposed to be DeAndre Hunter, who's inconsistent.
Yeah.
But we're more athletic on the wing. We're starting to look more a little bit more like the Pacers, and the Pacers are doing a better job of what we are. Pacers don't really exactly play gangbusters defense either. They just score more.
They are good at scoring. Real quick, Big O, pivot here. I want to hear 22 and Jalen talking about Quinn Snyder believing in him. I think this is important as we talk about Jalen and his development. Guys, it's one thing when a team pays you. It's another thing when the coach backs this
right.
and is behind you. And let's be honest, Jalen wasn't getting any run until Quinn became the head coach. He answered the question about what Quinn Snyder means to him.
He came in here and he just told me and believed in me in a way. And I would say like a coach that never ever believed in me. Like a lot of guys, a lot of coaches I've had said it, but for Quinn to go out there and, you know, give me minutes at that time, you know, when it was tough, it meant a lot. So, like I said, that just made this decision easier as far as Quinn being here and just him trusting me. And it's all been great since.
It's something you and I have talked about, you know, before you and I even worked together, going all the way back to the days of Mike Woodson.
Yeah.
The older OG coaches, and Nate was kind of similar, just don't play the young guys. And I think you just touched on it. He got a chance to get some big minutes and big moments, and that's how you grow. You're not going to learn anything. I wish AJ Griffin's career goes differently. I don't know. He has a lot of stuff going on, you know, off the field and in his head, but it just seemed like his career was stunted early by Nate by never getting a chance to get out there. And different type of athlete, I get that, but Jalen Johnson credits the coach for getting those minutes.
Yeah, and I think that's just interesting because we haven't heard a lot of guys say the coach went all out of his way to make sure that I knew he believed in me.
And I can't tell you how many years I've been watching the Hawks. He's like, can we get the – no, never mind. You know, it's just not the way it works.
Hey, man, let's hear from Bronny. Mike and I were talking about it. I will simply say it was a fabricated moment, okay? That's what it was.
It's not his fault. What's he supposed to do? If your father's going to manipulate the draft and every other team is not going to pick you and you fall to the Lakers – hey, go for it. Have fun.
Do it.
But you have to understand that if you're LeBron, even Michael Jordan didn't try to pull this, and this kid played basketball at a high level, too.
No. I that's what I'm saying. I mean, right. Jordan played, what, 14 years or whatever it was after his retirement?
Where did Jordan's kid play? UCF, right?
Yes. Right. And so to play as long as LeBron has, to me, that's the story. Like, this dude shouldn't even be out there. Let's be honest. 22 years?
It's a testament to how he keeps himself in shape and how he approaches the game. And he just came off the Olympics.
Correct. Long offseason. Let's hear from Bronny. Here's what he's going to remember about last night.
Going up to that scores table with my dad checking in for the first time, that's a crazy moment I will never forget.
Yeah. Dad, pass the ball. Here's LeBron talking about that moment with his son.
It's family. It's always been family over everything. And, you know, for me, I lost a lot of time because of this league and committing to this league, being on the road at times, missing a lot of his things, Bryce's things, Zuri's things. So to be able to have this moment where I'm working still and I can work alongside my son, it's one of the greatest gifts I've ever got from the man above, and I'm going to take full advantage of it.
Yeah. Now, it's pretty cool being Bronny, being LeBron's kid for a number of reasons. When your dad pulls a prank.
He's rich.
Well, he fills your car with cereal on your way to practice, a lot of folks are like, oh, come on, this is so convoluted. Well, whatever. They had cameras hidden in the weeds or whatever.
Yeah.
He's able to take his other car to work.
Of course.
Because the first car is filled with cereal.
Cereal, yeah.
All right, but hey, man, they're having fun. I'm like, as I said with LeBron, he represents his country. He wins Olympic gold. He's still doing it at a level that nobody else has done it this far late in his career. So I guess he's earned a right to have his son as a human victory cigar along for the ride, right?
Listen.
Whether or not, you know, it's up to the fans to say we accept it or not.
Correct. There you go. And at the end of the day, this is just something else that'll be next to his name when he goes into the Hall of Fame and how we remember him 20 years from now. But nobody's ever done this, and I don't know if anybody wants to moving forward. Like, if you have a son right now, you're like, I'm going to stay in the league another 8 years so I can play with my son. It's hard to. I mean, it's hard to do that.
Right.
Hey, man, headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live. Live well. Hey, coming up, where are we in the pecking order? This 34-14 loss to the Seahawks has a lot of people wondering how good this Falcon football team is. Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I were just talking about, the unfortunate passing of Fernando Valenzuela, which we'll talk more about coming up in Guy Talk, which got us down this rabbit hole of talking about baseball and childhood and watching teams that we didn't get a chance to see. You didn't have the cable stuff that goes on now where, you know, again, 80s, 90s, whatever it might be, where you didn't see the Yankees every day, where if you want to now, you just buy the package, right, and you get a chance to see your home team.
But for those, and we'll get more into it, as you said, in Guy Talk, but I was telling Chris off the air, when the Dodgers, especially the Braves, Dodgers, and the old NL West, but when I was a kid, when the Dodgers came to town, it was like the circus was in town, and Fernando with that crazy delivery, looking up, looking down the screwball, and it was a phenomenon. He was even on Johnny Carson. It was great.
It was. His delivery, everything. Right. But he's passed away at the age of 63, so... certainly condolences going out, but he is one of those guys that if you saw, and it wasn't hype, he was great, all-star for like 6 or 7 years in a row, Cy Young Award winner, rookie of the year, he was legit, and then the team was good, which also helped.
And they won that 81 World Series, and now we've got, again, all these years later, the Yankees, just mentioned it on Twitter, Carl and I were just to wrap up the baseball thought stream. We have to go shoehorn in one day all those games that the Braves had to play with the Mets, and now we have to wait almost like 6 days for the World Series.
Makes no sense.
Baseball blew it, and you and I were just saying NBA's got juice. They had a big, you know, Celtics were bombing threes last night. You got college football, the NFL. It's like baseball's lost all their momentum, unless you're in New York or LA. The flyover states, the rest of us, it's like, you're right. It's very regional these days.
And by the way, where are the big marketing campaigns? Shohei. Judge.
Right.
Like, what, I should be seeing this all over the place.
It gets lost in the shuffle on Fox's programming.
Seriously.
If I'm honest, I don't even remember seeing one in particular.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Mookie. Like, the star. This is a star-studded, right? Giancarlo. There's none of that I've seen that's in my face where I'm going, all right, I'm sick of seeing this. I got to watch it. Like, that's – you have to bombard us – I'm talking about fans, with stuff that we go, all right, I got to see this.
I've seen more college football promos on Fox and World Series promos,
exactly.
It seems like.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. We are live at Flowery Branch, guys. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Coming up next hour, in the 3 o'clock hour, in about 25 minutes from now, Raheem Morris is going to join us right after practice, and we'll talk to Rod, not only about last week, but obviously looking ahead, because this is a big game for us. We need this one in our division. You want to own the division? You want to go to the playoffs? This is the quickest way to get there. But what is our team, Mike, because after that loss against Seattle, it's got a lot of people around the country going, all right, are they really good? Are they okay? Are they going to be really good maybe in 3 or 4 weeks?
Right.
Like, there's this thing right now about our team, because we won 3 in a row and then you lose the way you did at home, that has some people kind of doubting the fact that this is really what we think it is.
We kind of went through this in 2016, for guys who don't remember. We had just when you think things were cooking, remember Dan Quinn took over the defense?
Right.
You know, and there were some games, I think it was Chargers game where things kind of, I know that it doesn't matter. How, I mean, yes, you want to be winning now, but how you finish. The Giants, the Chiefs have shown you get hot at the right moment. Hell, the Giants would usually get hot in November. The Chiefs get hot like the week of the playoffs, right? But they're still loaded. But, and we'll talk more about the moves they made coming up in the Blitz. But, yeah, it's my argument was, hey, the whole NFC is really kind of muddled, and we're right in the mix with everybody, and I just felt like we took a step back. You know, and the Lions look like they are certainly the class of it. The 49ers have got so many injuries to overcome. So, yeah, can we beat the Lions right now? No, I don't think we can.
I don't
know. But that can change over the course. But you don't lose a game that looks as bad as we did against Seattle and think you could go in a playoff game, let's say, to argument's sake, to Detroit and beat those guys.
Well, that's the thing. And I agree with you. It doesn't mean that as we move forward, I won't feel better about it. Mm. I'm just worried about the NFC right now.
Same right now.
And when you look at the NFC, that's the team, you know, that I truly believe in. I know Seattle just beat us. I don't necessarily believe in Seattle, right? That division is kind of kooky right now. When you start talking about the 49ers injuries, the Cardinals up and down at home on the road, what the Rams have been with all the injuries and the rumors about them not only trading Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that division's kind of whack right now. You're like, who's really good? The Lions are really good. The Commanders are interesting.
We're going to play these dudes.
They're interesting.
I mean, we're going to play these dudes. They get the Bears this week in the battle of quarterbacks with Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. That's going to be great to see. But, yeah, in the NFC right now, you know, the Eagles, after all the soap opera and drama, they're 4-2. Certainly the Vikings feel pretty good about themselves. And, you know, we just I thought Seattle, I don't believe in Geno. Geno just stuck it right up our hanky. We got close. We talked about the closing rate. It doesn't matter, guys, unless you get him on the ground with the football. None of this stuff matters.
No.
So even though we can say we're getting better, and yeah, I mean, getting better by what measure? We're still the worst team in the NFL as far as getting the quarterback on the ground.
6 sacks, 7 games, right? That's what we're talking about. Was that half a sack a game? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Less than a sack a game, yes. You know me. Nobody told me there's going to be math today.
Man. Yeah, yeah. I will say this. When you start talking about where are we what we think we are, I still think this is a very good football team. But the mistakes have hurt us, the penalties. We heard, let you hear Coach Raw talk about it, and I'm sure we'll ask him about this because these are things that are correctable. Right. It's not as if you're going to add some stars to this roster, Mike, and all of a sudden we're going to take off. The guys that are here are capable, but the mistakes are correctable. The missed tackles, the lack of sacks, these things, getting guys on the ground, that stuff's correctable. You can do those things and fix those things. But I still think this is a very good football team. And I know there's skepticism because you go, well, you know, why do you lose at home to the Seahawks the way you did? It was just a bad game. And that's the only way that I can phrase it. Now, if you do this 2 or 3 weeks in a row, we got a problem.
Well, I mean, like if Drake catches that the first interception, then it's a first down and we're driving. Maybe, you know, Kuhn misses a field goal. Kuhn never misses a field goal. But at the end of the day, it's those touchdowns before the half. Coach Rod talked about it. We'll talk about it with him coming up next hour. But it's like the touchdown you gave up against Carolina before the half, the one we gave up, that was really a big momentum shifter. And I know we did come back and score in the second half, but it just felt like this. The team was flat. I know we can't talk about the crowd because, as Kirk Cousins said, we provide the juice. Okay, you can't blame the crowd on that.
He's right, because, listen, if they come out and score, Mike, three possessions in a row, there's going to be a lot of juice on that sideline.
Right.
But we didn't.
We got six sacks. Carolina's got seven. Miami's got nine. So that's the worst three in the NFL right now. And we mentioned earlier, and we're 13th most penalized team in the NFL with 45.
Yeah, Matt Bergeron, you a little skeptical on him being ready?
Neck?
Yeah,
he was back in practice. I just saw that from D-Led. Thanks, Mike and Carl. But, yeah, the good news is that when you heard neck, you and I both freaked out because he's been one of the most steady pieces. Our guards are like rock solid with Lindstrom and Bergeron, but apparently he's good to go.
Yeah, Coach said he looked like everybody was going to be okay yesterday when he talked about this. Bergeron, by the way, and listen, we don't get too caught up in this because these are guys you don't even watch until we score a touchdown. You go, man, the offensive line block, great. But he's really coming to his own this season. And last year we thought he was really good. 11th in the league in pass block win rate. If you are into those things, which means he's winning on passing downs. And, you know, his run blocking has been terrific. He's only 24 years old, Mike. And, again, him and Lindstrom are kind of two peas in a pot. They don't say anything, right? They just go out and play, and they ball out. And at the end of the game, you kind of go, man, they own their guys. That's kind of how good they've been. But they're going to have a test against Vita Vea this weekend.
And, by the way, I just looked. It's funny. Sometimes, you know, the numbers tell you the story.
Look at the numbers.
We're the worst team in the NFL in getting the quarterback on the ground. But we're in the middle of the pack in passing yards allowed, which is interesting. We're right up there with the Commanders and the Seahawks. And interestingly enough, the Buccaneers are one of the worst teams, and that's why you want to make it a shootout, which we did that game on Thursday night. But certainly down there in Tampa, you feel you can get what you want in the passing game against Tampa Bay.
Well, listen, ideally Sunday, my formula would be obviously to get up on them, Mike, and force Baker to have to go win the game without Mike Evans and Godwin. Because I don't think he can. And if you say, all right, what's the ideal situation? It's not them running the ball, scoring, and us keeping the ball and running the ball and scoring, and it's a low-scoring game. It's us airing it out, playing like we did at the end of that game, getting up on these guys, and then saying, hey, Baker, you try to bring them back from 21 or 18 or whatever it might be.
Right.
I don't think he can do it without Mike Evans and Godwin.
We're tied with a bunch of teams for sixth place in interceptions with five. We're tied for 13th with 10 touchdowns allowed in the passing game we've given up. So we're middle of the road as far as what matters, the passing yards, but more importantly, the touchdowns. So this is where the old Mike Smith argument, sacks don't matter.
Yeah.
Well, you still got to, when you go up against the elite teams, and Seattle right now is a playoff team, we saw what happened against them. We got beat by 20 because we couldn't get the quarterback on the ground.
Here's what's crazy, though, about this, Mike. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio. 92.9 a game. Coach is coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Here's what's crazy about it for me. When you talk about our games, we've been in every game except last Sunday, right?
I mean, that's the first one where it's like, oh, what are we doing for dinner?
Right. And despite the sack numbers, and that's exactly what was being said, despite the sack numbers, think about it. We lose to the Chiefs 22-17. It's a one-score game. We're in the game. Some people think we got robbed. Me. That we probably should have won that game. I mean, even the games we've lost, Steelers, 18-10, it's a one-score game.
Yeah, one possession.
But we're not getting to the quarterback. So that's what's crazy to me about this is, despite the sack numbers, we're still – and then we ran off three in a row, but we're still have been in these games outside of last weekend.
So we're going to hopefully get things cooking. Are we going to make a trade? We'll talk about the other moves teams are making. And again, guys, two more weeks until the trade deadline, Tuesday, November 5th. It's election day. It's a trade deadline. So we'll see what comes up. But it doesn't seem like there's any A-listers out there,
no.
You know, other than Myles Garrett.
Well, you're going to give it the bank for him.
But that's going to be a transformative. That's where you better win the Super Bowl the next two or three years,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah. And by the way, I would.
I mean, Kirk Cousins' time here.
Yeah. If you're asking me right now, what would you give up? There's two guys that I'd give up the farm for, meaning I'd give a couple of picks and say, let's go. Mm. Crosby and Garrett.
Yeah. Me too. Oh, I found another. Boy, it's fun when you keep monkeying around with the stats. We are the worst team in the NFL as far as allowing the opposing quarterback's completion percentage.
Mm.
So any corollary to that, you know, and we know, I know the touchdowns are only in the middle of the pack, but yeah, 72 quarterbacks are completing 72.1% of their passes against us.
Interesting. All right.
That's a zone defense, which is giving a quarterback lots of time.
And no,
without pressure from the down line.
It is. I mean, I think, and again, this is just observations through weeks, you know, seven right now. We are we're less willing to give up the big play than to get the sack, if that makes sense.
Right.
We don't want to give up.
You can bend and not break. That's kind of what we were in 16.
Because what happens is in that red zone, it gets tighter, right? And
right.
Then all of a sudden, they're kicking field goals, not scoring touchdowns. That's a win for the defense, despite the fact that they may have driven the field. I've said this at the beginning of the season. I'm not all caught up in yards. Like, sometimes people get so caught, we can't believe we gave up this many yards. Did it equate to touchdowns? If it didn't, then the defense won. If you gave up 700 yards, right? It's like the Ravens game the other night against the Bucks, Mike.
Right.
Bucks gave up almost 500 yards to them,
right.
But they also scored 41 points. So it wasn't just the yards; they were scoring in the red zone. If those two things are happening, then you're in trouble.
The year we went to the Super Bowl, we obviously had a young defense. I thought our best defense was 2017. We had 39 sacks that year, but we were also down to the bottom as far as completion percentage allowed for opponents. So, you know, Falcon fans, pass rush. It's like a unicorn.
Yeah.
You don't see him very often, Carl.
It's true. All right, man.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm willing to go screw a horn onto a horse's head. Let's make it work. Okay, let's do something.
We'll fabricate one. Coming up, 3 o'clock hour, we'll get around the blitz, around the NFL, should I say, with our NFL blitz. Also, we got to let you hear from my man, Mike Conti. Last night, as he was making the call in Montreal, fans in Montreal were attempting to distract him. We'll let you hear how he responded coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.